If you will, turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I want you to hold your finger here. We're going to take a look at a passage here and then come back. And some of the brethren, I thought I might be able to get some of the brethren that live a long way away to supplement the love offering with a little bit more to kind of cut the message short so they can get on the road. But nothing ever came out of that. They were kind of talking about that. But I know you're tired. And I know you're hungry. Well, maybe we're not hungry as well as we've been fed. Pray the Lord to just help and bless. And I don't want to keep you long for the sake of keeping you long. We just want to hear what the Lord has to say to us and speak to us. Stewardship. Stewardship. The Lord opened my eyes about this subject of stewardship, this doctrine of stewardship. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 7, the Scripture says, there's some principles that we want to extract. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Hang on to those words. What hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? And this chapter and chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians are speaking about the apostles and how the apostles, the brethren, gave their lives for the benefit of the Lord's people. But a principle here, we don't want to speak about that, but we want to do see this. What hast thou that thou didst not receive? Run a short list on that. What do you have that you haven't been given? Okay? Hold your finger here, and let's go over to Luke 16 quickly. Our Lord, in Luke 16, after the account of the rich man and the unjust steward, and telling about that, in Luke chapter 16, we pick it up in verse number 10. Verse number 10 of Luke 16. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. Verse 11. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Verse 12, and if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Okay, now you've held your finger in 1 Corinthians 4. Let's come back there. Let's go up to verse number 1 and verse number 2. Another principle that we want to extract from this. And hold these thoughts in your hand. Verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 4. What hast thou that thou didst not receive? Then that content of Luke 16, 10 through 12. Some things in there. Namely about unrighteous mammon and who will commit to your trust true riches. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, the Scripture says, and let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ. And that is the context. Here's what we want to extract. It's coming in verse 2, and stewards, ministers are stewards of the mystery of God. Verse 2, moreover it is required in stewards, here's the principle, that a man be found faithful. Okay? A man be found faithful. That's what the Lord expects. In stewardship is that a steward be faithful. Do we realize, the Lord opened my heart to it, and that it is the case. Do we realize that the messages in the conference, every message in the conference has been about our opportunities of stewardship? Every one of them. What do we have that we haven't received? We don't have a thing that we haven't been given. As our brother preached, Brother Christopher, about having and raising children, they've been given to us, and we are stewards of those children. Our Lord has given them to us. Brother Randy, in the role of women. Ladies and women, you've been given by God to be a woman. And that's what God has given you. Don't change it. Our world is haywire and crazy, and it's about this gender confusion. And you've been given a stewardship of being a woman. Our brother Mark, that preached about the role of the man. Men, you're men. Ordained by God to be a man.
Right, amen.
You've been given the stewardship of being a man. You've got the time of your life and the stewardship of being a man and all the things that go with that. Brother Ryan, last night, you know, we've been given our eyes. We didn't procure our eyes ourselves. Our Lord has given us our eyes. And we're to be good stewards of that in our life. And then Brother Chris, our children and their education, again, that's a stewardship opportunity. It's been given to us. And we have these opportunities for stewardship. Stewardship is another universal principle in this life, or rather in our Lord's kingdom. The Lord's kingdom is at hand, isn't it not? We are saved, we see it. We are saved, we've entered into it. And we know that it's so. We know our Lord is King. We know there's something bigger than just this existence on this earth. And we live here and we have a president and we have authority and leadership over us. It's ordained of God, but we know there's a King greater than these, don't we? And so we're in this kingdom. Stewardship is a universal principle in this life, like with some others. Repentance. That's a universe. All are called to repentance. Every man, woman, boy, or girl is commanded to repent. That's what God has ordained. We know the working of the Lord and understand the effectual working of the Lord, but everyone is called to repent. It's a universal thing. Another thing is that of submission. We are the Lord's creation, and we are called to submit to Him. So that these, along with others, are so, and stewardship is that way. When we speak of stewardship, the first thing we think of is money, isn't it? I mean, that's just kind of the thing that comes around, is that of money. We're certainly to be a steward of the money and the possessions that we have, and it's a great aspect of stewardship. I'm going to speak about that namely this morning. But it's not the only one, as we've pointed out here already in the messages that our brethren have brought forth. Stewardship of what we are profited. We work. We're profited from our servile work. Different ones have worked at different things. And that's what you did. You sell your time, don't you? Yep. You sell your time. You sell your labor. You sell that which you can do for another. And they pay you for that. Our work and the unrighteous mammon. It's this world. We're not to be of this world, but we are in this world. And you need money to live. That's the way that it is. Work, as one brother pointed out, is ordained from God. Work is good. As long as we don't take the work and put it between us and the Lord. Yeah, well, that's one of those balance things, isn't it? It is. But our stewardship from what we are profited. Our hire or our wealth. Deuteronomy chapter 18. Again, this about stewardship. Look here what Moses preached to Israel. And it's a principle that applies to all of us here in Deuteronomy 8, verse 18. The scripture says, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth." He's the one that gives us the ability, the sense, the strength to be able to go and work. Amen. To be able to have, that we can sell our time profitably. And to be able to have that we need for this life. For it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. Our Lord, we've been given that, haven't we? Amen. We've been given that ability. Yeah. We're found to be stewards of that ability. How will we use it? And so we have this of the wealth, or what we're profited, what we increase. You know, in our own homes, and from the standpoint of our work, and men that go and work, and to provide for their homes, we have that we gain, that which we've profited. There may be those that have businesses. And with a business, you have to spend some money on supplies or labor or other things and all that, and then you do a job, and then you make a profit on that job. And so there's that's gained, what you gain. And what are we to do with that? Well, first, we're to honor our Lord with it, aren't we? Yeah, it's very simple. The Lord's made it simple. In Proverbs chapter 3, take a look over here. Proverbs chapter 3, what we are gained, our hire, our stewardship in this that we have gained. Our Lord's given us the ability to earn it and to take it and to bring it home that we might use it for the benefit and help of our family. What is it that should happen first as we are found stewards of this money, of this wealth, of this gain? Well, in Proverbs 3:9 it says, honor the Lord with thy substance. That's the stuff of life. And with the first fruits of all thine increase, what we're gained. Like I said, the brother working for an employer, everything he makes is his gain. Right? And that's what we should take and then give consideration to this honoring of our Lord. Not what we gain and then our expenses and then we honor the Lord. No, that's out of order, isn't it? Now the business owner, he's got labor and supplies and all that he does for the job, and he takes that off of what he's paid, and then he's got his gain, hadn't he? And then he takes and honors the Lord. We're to honor our Lord with our substance and the first fruits of our increase. He goes on to say in verse 10, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. The Lord will provide for us and give us what we need. But we need to keep him first. Remember, it's all been given to us. We're stewards of it. It's on loan to us in this time. Some say that there's little to nothing said about tithing in the Gospels in the New Testament. And to find a direct scripture, I would agree with what they're saying, but I don't agree with where they're going. There's also nothing said about keeping the command of the Sabbath in the New Testament. I challenge you to take a look at that. Are we to do so? You know, there's things in the Scripture that we just need to understand that were settled a long time ago. One day out of seven is our Lord's, period. It's been that way from the beginning. It's that way right here today. Now, because our Lord rose from the grave and appeared to his church on the first day of the week, rather than the day of rest being at the end, we now honor and meet together for the holy convocation and the gathering of our churches when our Lord met with that first church to put our Lord first in the week. Amen? We are to rest, to step aside from our servile work, from that we do to gain our income and all that for the provision of our family. We put the Lord first. We step apart from the world. We worship him first. And one day of seven has been from the beginning. He gave it to Adam, and you and I still got it here today. Why doesn't there need to be much said about it in the New Testament? Because it's already understood. It's just understood. Also, this about tithing. It was from the beginning. I believe that tithing, or the offering of the first fruits, again, started with Adam. It's what he taught his boys. That's just the way that it is. It was certainly confirmed by Abraham, wasn't it? Before the law, right? Before the patriarchs, before the nation of Israel. And it's still at hand for us to obey today. We should tithe, and we should give offerings. Malachi, last book of the Old Testament, right? Malachi, if we understand it correctly, the last book before a 400-year silence. You may, I was thinking about that here the other day, about the Jews, the nation of Israel. They were there. They received the oracles of God, as it tells us in Romans, and that was the blessing and benefit that they had. And then there was a decade. There was 50 years. There was 100 years, and we haven't heard from God again. 200 years. 300 years. You know there's been no prophet. 400 years. The Lord hadn't forgot, had he? They had been on a regular clip of getting word of God for 1600 years, about 1400 years. And been getting the word of God. For a long span of time. And then there was that silence. Here in this last book in Malachi, the scripture says in chapter 3, verse 8, you know it, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? The Lord says, in tithes and offerings. Right. Do you think that the Lord, our Lord, thinking about tithes and offerings has changed since Malachi? Did something just happen when John the Baptist came preaching or our Lord came in his ministry that the Lord said, that's done? No. We should honor our Lord. His thinking has not changed. His thinking is the same. In verse 10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Kind of sounds like what we read in Proverbs, doesn't it? We're to honor our Lord. He's given us the ability to work. He's given us the provision for life. And we need to honor Him with it. His thinking has not changed. And we are to be good stewards of this and honor our Lord in it, in that which we are increased. The storehouse, indeed, in that day it was the tabernacle and there in the nation of Israel. What is it today? Well, it's the Lord's churches, isn't it? It's the Lord's churches. That's the place where the keys of the kingdom are, where this world can find out about salvation through Jesus Christ and the churches of the Lord that are the pillars and ground of the truth. Amen. The pillar and prop of the truth of the Word of God. So and we're to bring the tithes and the offerings into the storehouse of the Lord's churches so we can have rich churches? God forbid.
Amen.
But to take that, as he said there, that there might be meat in mine house, why was there meat in the house? Well, the priests needed something to eat, didn't they? And there needed to be that for sacrifices, didn't there? And we're not Israel, and we don't have a tabernacle anymore. But indeed we do have the Lord's house and His churches, fitly joined together, those that the Lord has saved, with a pastor, to an under-shepherd, to lead them and teach them and direct them. And he needs supported too, doesn't he? And that's the design of the Lord. Do we bring this in so that we can have rich churches? God forbid. But rather to spread the seed of the gospel and the word of the Lord to this lost and dying world. Be a good steward. And give back to our Lord His due and more. And you know what? Do it cheerfully. Right? Do it cheerfully. In regards, Paul speaks in 2 Corinthians 9. I trust you're familiar with it. In speaking of the necessity, the giving to the necessity of the saints, Paul writes there to Corinth, to the church at Corinth, in 2 Corinthians 9:6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly. This is speaking of alms. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he hath purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. Again, this is speaking about alms, not about tithes and offerings. This is speaking about what's being given for the help of others, for the help of the saints. For God loveth a cheerful giver. Cheerful when we bring back of our what we're profited and what we're increased by our Lord in our servile work and our labor in this unrighteous, the mammon of this world. Bring that to Him and on offering, bring an offering to Him to honor Him in that. Does the Lord need it? He doesn't need it. Has He commanded it? He sure has. And you and I have before us whether we're going to be a good steward of the stuff of life. And that's where we start. So then with the rest of it, we're off the hook, right? The other 88%, right? Or the other 85%. I don't know how you give. It's between you and the Lord. But what about the rest of it? Well, in Proverbs chapter 3, let's take a look over here. Proverbs chapter 3, again, we're stewards. What do we have that we haven't been given? In Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. All thy ways, all our ways, right? Acknowledge him. You and I need to acknowledge our Lord, even in the way we use the rest. It's given to us. It's not ours. My money. It's not my money. It's the Lord's money. In all thy ways, but except in those of dollars, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. You know, if we take that approach, we won't get direction in that path. Hear that? If we say, in all thy ways, except for money, in all thy ways acknowledge him, we don't acknowledge him in the spending of the rest of what he's given us, we won't have any direction in the path of spending what the rest he's given us. You hear that? In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Acknowledge him even in the way we use the rest of that which he has given us. In Psalm 50, verse 10, every beast of the forest is mine, the Lord says, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. We've got a cattle auction over there on Highway 79 that we passed by on the way to and from Clarksville. Okay? Now, what do you reckon about those ranchers that bring that cattle in there? What would they say about that? Those ranchers that hold title to that cattle when they take it in there. Our Lord says it's his. But they would say it's theirs. But you know what? It does indeed belong to our Lord's. If the cattle on a thousand hills of a thousand ranchers belong to our Lord, our stuff, what we have left from our increase, indeed belongs to the Lord too, doesn't it? In Psalm 24, 1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all and they that dwell therein. Amen. We're the Lord's. And if I'm the Lord's, every man, woman, boy, or girl belongs to the Lord. Amen. So, well, it would be that their stuff belongs to the Lord, doesn't it? We're his. And we need to understand that. It doesn't matter. All the rest of our money and possessions are his too. All this we have been given, it's been given to us on loan. We need to know that. We need to get settled about that. We need to be converted about that. To understand that's just the way it is. Because we've been given a stewardship in this unrighteous mammon. Yeah, you may not have asked for it, but you've got it. Every person. We've got this stewardship in regards to this unrighteous mammon. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 7, our brother writes to the young preacher, to the pastor, he says, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out." That confirms it, doesn't it? It confirms indeed that all of this, all of what we have, all of what we might think is ours, it is all our Lord's. And we're to be good stewards of it. Let's remember our text verses. What do we have that we did not receive? It's all been given. Even the ability to have sense or logic and reasoning or skills, able to work with our hands, it's all been given to us by the Lord. Remember, in our text verses, he who is faithful in a little, you know what? They can be trusted to be faithful in a lot. Right? It's also said that the contrary of that is so, that who can't be trusted with a little sure can't be trusted with a lot. Right? And then remember this. If we've not been faithful with the stuff of life, there will be no committing to us whatever this is of true riches. What's the true riches? And if you and I are not faithful in that which is another's, remember it belongs to him. If we're not faithful with that which is our Lord's, how can we be given anything that'll be our own? I tell you what, in consideration of this message, I think the Lord has taught me that the Scripture's bearing out that this stewardship has an eternal connection. It has an eternal connection. In 1 Corinthians 10:31, turn over here. Let's read this. I bet you didn't know it said this in here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 31, whether therefore ye eat or drink or buy or shop, it would apply, wouldn't it? Or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. The rest of it is not mine. The rest of it is His. Another thought along this way, and just touch upon it, You know what? We don't need to use what God has given us to sin against Him. Think about that. One brother mentioned, I think, about going on vacation. That's one thing. When you go on vacation, don't go on vacation from the Lord.
Amen.
You're taking that money, what's left over of the increase He's given you and giving you the ability to earn, and you're taking to spend that to go somewhere, which is not a thing wrong with going to places that are good, but taking that and spending it and taking vacation from the Lord. Mm-mm-mm. And then in other ways, indeed, we can use what our Lord has given us to sin against Him. Then we come to this thing of debt. Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22. Look here what the Scripture says. Proverbs chapter 22. Debt has engulfed our nation and the people of our nation, even the people of God. Debt is a monster indeed with big hooks. And it can pull down very, very low. And being good steward about the unrighteous mammon, or that which we are gained, or what we are paid for our servile work. Remember this, in Proverbs 22, verse number 7, the rich ruleth over the poor. I've never worked for a poor man. Poor men don't hire. And so that's not fair. Well, get over it. The Lord's done what He's done, and there it is. It's the way it is. Poor men don't hire, because they don't have anything to pay. But it's the wealthy that have businesses and do work and hire and stuff. That's just the way it is. And you know what? The Lord has put us in the place where He wants us to be. And He's given us this opportunity of stewardship that we need to be obedient to Him in. The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. The borrower is servant to the lender. And indeed, that is the case. Borrowing or debt is indeed a tool, as many things are. Okay? And hear me out. And it can be used correctly and well. Debt can be. The borrowing of money can be used well. But used incorrectly and with a lack of wisdom, mark it down, it will be devastating. It will be devastating. In Ecclesiastes 10, verses 9 and 10, whoso removeth stones shall be hurt therewith. You put yourself to do a little bit of work, you might be injured by it. And he that cleaveth wood, that's splitting wood for the fireplace, shall be endangered thereby. If the iron be blunt, and he do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength, but wisdom is profitable to direct. What's that saying? You know what? Maybe you need wood to keep warm in the winter. And if you go out there to split wood with an axe or splitting maul or a log splitter or whatever it is, there's some danger in that. You've got to be wise about using those tools. Because you can cut your foot, you can cut your leg, and there's some danger and risk that's there. But because that's the case, do we quit splitting wood? No, we have some wisdom. We have some respect. You don't use a dull axe to chop wood. You go sharpen it, and then you're careful with it. You pray the Lord will help and protect you in it. And so understand that debt can be used correctly, but if there's no wisdom and it's used incorrectly, it can be indeed devastating. There are a few things personally I believe that justify indebtedness, and in business there are others. But the summary of debt is to maintain solvency. You know what that means? What that means is don't get in debt for more than you're worth. Don't get in debt for something you can't pay off. Don't, because when we see a world of it, when it gets upside down, it's bad upside down. It goes down the hill in a hurry, doesn't it? To maintain solvency, one needs to own or only borrow against that which is of much greater than the debt. It's just the way that it is. So having said this, I want to take a look at two things that lack wisdom and that folks allow to drive them into debt. And I think this is telling in our society and tells about it in our society. Two things that lack wisdom and that folks allow to drive them to debt. Speaking about stewardship. Keeping up with the Blennerhassets. Okay, I had to pick a name that wouldn't touch anybody. I mean, we don't want to use the Joneses, right? Because of Brother Roger, Sister Brenda. But keeping up with the Blennerhassets, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Take a look over here. The marketing of this world is savvy. Satan's got 6,000 years of experience on us in marketing. He can make things look good, make it look slick, make it look wonderful, and you just got to have it. And the way that marketing works is, what does scantily clad women have to do with the selling of tires? Right. Nothing. Right? But it's done, isn't it?
Right.
It's done. What does that have to do with the selling of appliances? But it's the pitch that's made to us. The pitch about stuff. About stuff. And you need something to keep your food cold. And you do need tires on your car to be able to get around well. It just won't work well without tires. But the thing is we need to understand about this, about marketing, that it's going to push us to compare ourselves against one another. Or against the famous person. Or against, it's going to push us to compare ourselves to the one that's in vogue, the popular person or whatever. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 12, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise."
Amen.
You know what? We got to get over what other people think. And we got to get over wanting to be like somebody else. What we need to grab a hold of is that we be like Christ.
Amen.
Amen? We need to be like Christ. Two things that lack wisdom and that folks allow to drive them into debt. Measuring up to others. We don't want to be left out. A brother or sister has the new thing, and we want to have the new thing like them. The new expensive thing, the technology. I mean, technology's a drug, isn't it? I mean, technology, I like technology. I mean, and the thing is, but if we don't put it in its right place, it can consume us. And we need, and in and of itself, there's nothing wrong with technology. But if we cause it to make us to be, allow it to make us bad stewards, then we need to put it back in its right place. Keeping up with others. The wanting of things. I like tools. Some of you have been around me. I like tools. I mean, I'm a sucker for a tool. I am. I got to watch that. In Luke chapter 12, verse 15, look here what our Lord says. We need to understand that life is greater than the stuff that we own. And our comparison to others and what they have. If the Lord has blessed our brother or sister or our neighbor with a thing, we need to rejoice in it for them. But we don't need to necessarily have it for ourselves if it'll cause us to be a bad steward. Does the Lord want me to have that? Or do I have even the ability to have that? And in verse 15 of Luke 12, the Lord says here, "And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth."
Amen.
You and I before the Lord are not measured by how much stuff we have or accumulate. And we need things indeed in life. But we don't need to look over here at others and what they have and try to pursue what they have so we can be like them or be with them. We need to go to our Lord as a good steward of what he's given us. And what can happen is when we want to keep up with the Blennerhassets, we don't have enough money to do so, we can turn to that indebtedness, can't we?
Right.
And then we see that then our way is all wrong. It's all upside down, and we're not honoring to our Lord. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 3 through 7, "If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness." Godliness is not about how much stuff we've got.
Right. Amen.
Godliness is walking humbly and holily and a sanctified, set apart for our Lord, and obeying what His calling is for us out of His Word, and meeting these opportunities of stewardship that He's given us and that's been preached about. The Lord says, supposing that gain is godliness, He says, from such withdraw thyself, if I may add, lest thou be tempted. You get around somebody that speaks about their stuff all the time, the Lord says that might be somebody to get away from.
Right. Amen.
Always talking about their stuff. Always measuring up about their stuff. I've got this, 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 and this. This, 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 and this. But godliness with contentment is great gain.
Amen.
That's where it's pleasing to the Lord. For we brought nothing into this world, and certain we can carry nothing out. So this two things that lack wisdom that can cause people, allow folks allow to drive them into debt, is this of keeping up with others, and then the other of just covetousness. There's two facets to covetousness. The desire of another's stuff, right? In Exodus 20, and I think that's the pinnacle of it. That's the way the commandments are. You consider this about the last commandment, the 10th commandment, that of covetousness. Is it not the seed that drives the other nine? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. You know what? I want another God. See that? Covetousness. I want something other than what the Lord says is right. Don't have any graven images. No, I want to worship the Lord this way. I've had people tell me, I need something to help me worship God. You need the Spirit and the truth to worship.
Amen.
The Lord. Right? And so covetousness, the desire of another stuff, as expressed here in Exodus 20:17, thou shalt not cover thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not cover thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Covet it so, like David did, to take it away from Uriah. David took and disobeyed those last five commandments, and you know what Solomon did? Is he ended up disobeying the first five. It all started with David wanting another man's wife. Covetousness. This facet is the worst, where I see your thing or your stuff, and I want to come take it away from you. It's the worst, and it can yield, and we can yield its temptation into other wickedness to boot. But then there's the other facet that is very near and destructive. It's that of just wanting the stuff that's here. Like technology is like a drug. I just got to have the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. If we can afford the next thing rightly before the Lord, if we can use the next thing for the honor and glory of God, then well. But if we've just got to have it for the sake of having it,
right.
We just got to have it for the sake of hoarding it up, then that is not good. In John chapter 2, verse number 15. John chapter 2, verse number 15. I'm sorry, 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 15. The scripture says here, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Listen to how these apply here to our subject of stewardship and this of being tempted to go in debt. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, I got to have it. I got to have it. The desires. I got to have this thing, that new neat thing. When I can't afford it. When there's not room to have it, but yet I got to have it. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. I call catalogs anymore covetous magazines. Especially the tool ones. That's my weakness. I mean, it's covetous. We got another covetous magazine here, a covetous book in the mail. The pride of life. See, that's where we're trying to keep up with another. Those are not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passeth away. We need to remember that. The world passeth away, and the lust thereof, the desires of it. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever.
Amen.
So is it the will of God that I keep up with somebody else? Is it the will of God that I gather the stuff of the world to me? In 1 Corinthians 7, Apostle Paul speaks about different ones. The time is short, and remaineth those that have wives be as none. They that weep, as they weep not. Those that rejoice, they rejoice not. And those that buy, as they possess not. And they that use this world, as not abusing it. We don't need to abuse the things of life. We need to use the things of life to the honor and glory and praise of our Lord. We've been given a stewardship, haven't we? In Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation, what you think, what you say, what you do, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Amen. Peter speaks in 2 Peter chapter 2 about those of the world being exercised with covetous practices. And sad to say, when these two things, this of keeping up with another or just wanting to have the stuff of life, when we don't have the wherewithal to take all this stuff of life to us, are indeed that of covetous practices. So these two things at hand, keeping up with others. Again, we're speaking of stewardship. Just wanting the stuff of life or keeping that, keeping up with others. We can take this and allow these to draw us or to cause us to yield to the temptation of going off into the pit of death. A person makes 10. I'm just going to throw out some simple examples here. A person makes 10. And they need 9 to honor the Lord and live. They don't need to borrow 100 thinking to pay for it with the one that they have left over, right, over a long, long time. Don't need, right, to do it. You're binding yourself up, wrapping yourself up. What about when whatever comes around? How do you deal with the thing that's unknown to us? They have nothing left to deal with it, do they? They will be tempted, what? To borrow more.
You're right.
And then the spiral starts going down, doesn't it? Another situation that can easily come about. Everything that one owns put together in a pile is worth 100. And then they allow their debt to climb to 125 or to 150 or to 200. And everything that they've owned is only worth 100. They've borrowed beyond the value of the stuff that they have. They're not solvent. They can't take this, this, and this and sell it and get out of debt right now. They are in debt more than they're worth. Is that being a good steward of what the Lord has given? Indeed, they are the slave to the lender, aren't they? They're a slave to the lender, and they're a slave to that stuff that for the most part rots, gets corrupted,
amen,
and is going back to the ground.
Right.
The thing is at hand. Listen, especially young people, don't sell out tomorrow for something cheap today. Hear that? And that can be applied in many ways. But don't sell out tomorrow for something cheap today. Here's then what happens when they're so loaded down. They've borrowed and sold out their future time that they've got to work with that extra one that they have to pay off that 100. Or what they own is not enough to cover all their debt that far and exceeds that. Here's what happens. They're tempted to refrain from the tithes and offerings. So now bad stewardship is going to lead to more bad stewardship, isn't it? The temptation's going to be there. You know how I can say that? Been there and done it. To my shame, been there and done it. Everyone in the house that can work, I mean, I'm talking about the husband, the wife, the children, the dog, the cat, everybody that's in the house has got to work to keep this boat floating so it doesn't sink. They've got to go out, all of them have got to go out and do public work to maintain so this thing doesn't sink. When they're in this situation, there's a special need at the church or otherwise, and they can't give because everything's committed. It's committed for a long, long time. And there they have opportunity to bless someone else, and they can't. Or there's special services or an effort in the church like this conference or other things that a church might do, and they can't take off work because they've committed every work hour for months and years ahead.
Right.
It's all wrapped up. My future is wrapped up because of the stuff. Remember our text verses? What do we have that we did not receive? He who is faithful in a little will be faithful in much. If we've not been faithful in the stuff of life, there will be no committing to us of true riches. Whatever the true riches are, that's a subject for another message, but there's true riches. There's this of the unrighteous mammon, and then there's true riches. And if you and I are not faithful in that which is another's, our Lord's, how will we have that which is our own? Our Lord's requirement for stewards is that they be found faithful.
Amen.
All of it's His. Be a good steward that the Lord would have you to be. Honor Him with the first fruits of thy increase and with all the rest. And be a good steward that'll be able to give an account. There's a few other aspects of stewardship that I just want to mention. So, hey, hang in here with me. There's that stewardship of life. We've been given life, haven't we? Every person's been given life. Our Lord says in Mark 8:35, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it."
Amen.
He gives us a great directive there about the use of life, doesn't he? You have the stewardship of your life. What will you do with it? There's that of salvation, when being saved, being made a child of God by our Lord saving us. In Luke chapter 11, verse 33, the Lord says, "No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place." No, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And I believe that's speaking about the church. "That they which come in may see the light." You've been given a stewardship in your salvation.
Amen.
In the salvation of your soul, you've been given a stewardship in that. What will you do with it? What will you do with it? What will you and I do with it? We've been given a stewardship of the gospel. The Apostle Paul speaks to the church at Corinth. And there were those at the church at Corinth that seemed to deny his apostleship and his authority to be able to deal with them as an apostle. There was those that received it and those there that seemed to fret against it. And he said, in a nutshell, in 1 Corinthians 9:17, he says, "I've got a dispensation of the gospel that's committed to me. I've got a stewardship of the gospel and to be a minister to you about that." And we do. We've got the greatest message that there ever was and ever will be. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then that of the church. We who are saved, and not only that, the Lord has put us in His churches. We have a stewardship there. What, do you value your church membership? I mention this often. I try to. There to the membership of Olmsted Baptist Church. Are you a taker? Or are you a giver? We all need to give. And I'm not talking about money. We need to give of ourselves in the service and work of the church. Sometimes we all have to be takers, don't we? We need help. We need encouragement. We need support. But if we're always a taker, what's the Lord say about the stewardship of us in the church? "For so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts," he writes to the church at Corinth, "seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church."
Amen.
Our stewardship in the church. Also in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16, I find this interesting. "From whom the whole body," speaking of the church, "fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love."
Amen.
Every joint supplying. Stewardship. You're a part. You're a joint. And you need to be edifying those that are connected to you in the church. That's a stewardship that we've been blessed with. Opportunities for stewardship. In conclusion, remember our text verses. What do we have that we haven't received? All of it. All of it we've received from our Lord, haven't we? "Therefore, we're found in that we are stewards of it all." He, remember our text verses? He who is faithful in a little can be trusted to be faithful in much.
Amen.
And if we have not been faithful in the stuff of life, the unrighteous mammon, there will be no committing to us of true riches, whatever that is. If you and I are not faithful in that which is another, or our Lord's, because it is all His, how can we ever have that which will be ours?
Right.
And indeed, our Lord's requirement for stewards is that they be found faithful. Bear with me in Luke chapter 12. I want you to turn over there. If you've got your Bible, please do so. In Luke chapter 12, the Lord says this. He asks this question. He says, Peter asks, are you speaking to us or to all? And the Lord said in verse 42, who then is that faithful and wise steward? Who is he? Is it you? Who is he? Is it you? For the one that's wise and faithful, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, and to give them their portion of meat in due season.
Amen.
Who is it? You? Is it me? In 1 Peter chapter 4, stay with me. I know you're hungry. I know you're tired. We're almost there. Hear the word of the Lord. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God.
Amen.
Grace, the favor of our Lord. He's favored us and given us life. He's favored us and given us salvation. He's favored us and putting us in His church. He's favored us and given us men a wife. He's favored us and given us children. He's favored us and given us the ability to work. He's favored us in that we might gain from that work. He's favored us in that we might know that we need to give Him tithes and offerings and support Him in the ministry and work in His church.
Amen.
He's favored us in showing us that all the rest of it is His too. Everything is a stewardship.
Amen.
And He has been gracious in showing us that and providing His Word to show us things that we don't know. And we need to be good stewards of His graciousness towards us. Verse 11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do as of the ability which God giveth. That God in all things may be glorified. That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Need to be a good steward of all things. Not for the honor and glory and praise of self, but for our Lord. To whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Does our stewardship in every case glorify and please our Lord? We need to do some introspection, don't we? We need to do some talking with the Lord. In Matthew 25, in dealing with this part where we've read in our text verses, being faithful with the unrighteous mammon and the committing of true riches. Listen to what it says and take this home with you. In verse number 14 of Matthew 25, the Lord's going to give an aspect of His kingdom. Aspects of the kingdom. None of these aspects or these things that our Lord says about the kingdom are all in and all of themselves describe everything about the kingdom, but they give an aspect of it, a facet of it. And our Lord says in verse 14, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. That's the way that it is. You know about the talents, I trust, that were given. Tells about that in verse 15. And then we come down to verse number 21. And as they came to give account, much has been, many times the judgment seat of Christ for we who are saved has been mentioned. We'll give an account as stewards. We'll give account of how we've been stewards over what our Lord has graciously bestowed upon us. Again, we have nothing that hasn't been given to us.
Amen.
And this is my desire for the membership of Olmsted Baptist Church as a pastor. I think every pastor would say that for the churches that they pastor. I want the membership of Olmsted Baptist Church to hear from the Lord this. The one that had been given so talents, he obeyed his Lord, and he took those talents and he occupied till he came. He obeyed him. That's what that means. And our Lord said in verse number 21, and his Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things." Remember our text verses? He that's faithful in little can be trusted in much. "Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord."
Amen.
Verse 23. His Lord said unto him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Remember our text verses. I know I've said it a lot. What do we have that we did not receive? He who is faithful in little will be faithful in much. If we have not been faithful in the stuff of life, there will be no committing to us of true riches. We're in the stewardship program right now, and eternity's coming. And all these different messages and subjects have all been about the stewardship opportunity that we've been granted by our Lord. If you and I are not faithful in that which is another's, our Lord's, how can we ever be given that which will be our own? I wonder what connection and what this means for eternity. Oh, we're saved in Christ. We'll be with Him eternally. But there's a connection there that I haven't seen before. And again, our Lord's requirement for stewards is that they be found faithful.
Amen.
Bottom line. Brother,
amen.
Thank you.